Good morning from Montgomery. We're so glad y'all could join us this morning. Why don't you just start and give us a little update on, I mean, you just recently, in the last few months, moved, how all that's been going?
Yeah, we, yes, we got here in September.
It's been almost 5 months. Almost.
Yeah, we got on the ground here and kind of went through a period of orientation and initial language learning, and I think only just recently we feel like we're kind of getting into a groove here of, you know, how things work and, you know, how to make things happen around here, and kind of just a little bit of a rhythm for our family. But yeah, after the orientation, I transitioned into immediate study for the law exam to allow my U.S. certificate to kind of transfer over here in New Guinea and to fly with that. So I dove into that for a while and was able to pass that pretty quickly, and then was able to show up at the hangar for just to kind of start observing and riding along. So during that time, you know, Bryn was kind of getting things together here at the house, and the kids. It was kind of rough transitioning to school a little bit, you know, from they'd been homeschooling here or in Alabama with us. Mm-hmm. So just getting into school at all for them was a big change. Mm-hmm. But so they're coming along nicely now. I think that transition, maybe it was 2 or 3 weeks probably.
Yeah, so the timing was nice because we got here kind of in the school works on, I guess it's a quarter system. There's 4 terms in the year. And so we got here kind of toward the end of the first term, I believe. But they had about 2 weeks to transition into school before they had a week and a half break. So it was kind of nice in that sense that they kind of got thrown in the middle, but then they had a quick little stint, and then they got to have a bit of a break and feel a little bit more comfortable, I think, going back after that. So they've settled in now. I think they're loving the school. It's been good because it's just down the hill from our house, so they can walk home for lunch, and then they have about an hour to finish up after lunch. So, yeah. I think the first few weeks were a challenge just because the orientation classes were Monday through Friday, you know, 8 to noon, and then we would come home for lunch real quick, and then we would go back in the afternoons. And so it was good material, good information, and then we were able to go out in the afternoons and walk through some of the villages nearby and go to town and see some of the surrounding area. But it was a lot all at once. And so yeah, I think that the first couple months was just kind of like fire hose trying to take it off a little bit.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But I feel like we have a break over Christmas, and so now we're kind of moving more into trying to, yeah, to just build on all of that. So
probably helps that they have one under their belt and they can start a new one.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Stuart, tell us, move into the aviation part and the flying and how that's been going.
Yeah. So, the kind of the way they work pilots in here is you start off on a permit system here using your U.S. credentials. So my permit actually got approved a lot faster than they were expecting. So I was able to start flying pretty soon. So early mid-December. I started flying, and have been flying with a coworker of mine who's been here for 7 years. He's been flying the airplane, and he's new to the helicopter, but he's been flying that for almost a year here now. So, I've just been learning, you know, how things work at air traffic control and trying to understand phraseology and weather patterns and, just, you know, where to go, where not to go, all those good things. And I took a check ride in January that gave me my official Papua New Guinea license, And then there were still a few more steps to go with the mission before, you know, I was fully released to fly on my own. So on Monday, I had my first flight all by myself. So
yesterday.
Yeah, that was yesterday. So that's really encouraging, you know, to have, you know, some big steps moving forward to kind of have those behind us. And I'm in a position now where I can actually start contributing instead of just, you know, being the tag along and learning everything. So that's really encouraging. It's nice to be in that spot now. So there are still a few of the, you know, longer distance trips that are really involved, have a lot of other kind of logistical pieces that go along with them that I'll be flying with my coworker a few more times on those longer ones. And one of those is like a, you know, several day trip out into the islands to the east of the mainland, actually closer to where I lived when I was a kid, my first couple of years here in New Guinea. But, yeah, and then after that, we probably won't fly together a whole lot. So we're right at the beginning, but in a good spot.
That's great. So are y'all doing some language learning?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Stuart's a little bit more comfortable with Pigeon than I am. I think they were just eager to get all those tests and the licenses taken care of. You kind of checked out of the language early on. And I'm still working. So I just, I had a language helper for the first couple, 2-3 months. And then in January, we, switched over to, I hired a lady to, kind of like the typical practice here, I guess, is to hire a lady to come help you with housework. And, I was really praying that we would be able to find, someone who would also be able to do both. My time is so limited with the kids, to find somebody who could come and be, they call it a work Mary, to come and help in that way, but also someone who would be comfortable enough with me and my two younger kids, to be able to talk and so that she can help me with language as well. So she started, 2 weeks ago. She comes once a week on Fridays and she's here pretty much all day. So it gives me time to kind of come and go, but check in with her and have conversations and get to know her a little bit. And then today we just started, the aviation team has been gracious enough to let Stuart stay home at least for a few weeks from the hangar Tuesday mornings, so that I have the chance to go to the Bible study teaching that they do for citizen workers here on the Mission Center. They do a study Tuesday mornings from 8 to 9 in the morning. And it's kind of similar. They just restarted that, to do the teaching that they do in the bush, right? The tribal church planners who go out and teach from creation to all the way through the Bible, like creation to Jesus. And so they just restarted that today, was kind of the introduction for that. And so I'm going to do that on Tuesday mornings now, go and be a part of that teaching group, not teaching, but go and listen to the teaching, to help learn language. And then work with the lady on Fridays, when she comes here to help with language. It's an interesting thing. Like, I loved language in high school. Like, I took Spanish, like probably a lot of us, right? And I can't speak any of it now, but like, it's just an interesting thing to be back in that spot and to, I can hear and understand a lot more than I can actually speak. So now we're just trying to get over that hump of being able to actually talk more.
Rather than 5 months that you can understand it that much. That's great.
Yes, it was encouraging to go this morning and to actually be able to follow and to not feel stressed. Like, because we went as part of orientation, we went one morning and listened, and it was definitely more stressful to try to keep up with it. So this morning was good.
Well, on your prayer request, you also mentioned something about a second helicopter that's supposed to come, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So there is a second helicopter, and it's currently in Arizona, and they're outfitting it to come over here, and they're hoping to be done with that at the end of this month. So we've kind of been, you know, talking about, you know, what are the estimates of when it might be here. And I think, you know, they range from optimistic, you know, early summer to late summer is, you know, kind of the optimistic range. Mm-hmm. So a part of the reason that they're able to let me take Tuesday morning off is so at this point right now, we still have two pilots, but one helicopter, and there's way more work than the one helicopter can do. Mm-hmm. So we're sharing the load, and as they're ramping me up slowly, you know, kind of getting me into the shallow end, to start out. And, with the anticipation of, you know, when that second helicopter gets here, that we're going to be both full on, you know, pretty much
most
of the time.
No, the flight schedule really is, we just, like I just heard from an email today, like it's already booked through April, right? I mean,
yeah.
It's booked solid through April, the way that they do that booking. So there's definitely a big need for the second helicopter and for, yeah, more ability to get people where they need to be. And
yeah, logistics here are incredibly tough. the expensive and tough, you know, if you can get it. So, you know, there's a tribal church planning family that they had bad weather on the day of their scheduled flight, and they've been stuck out here for what, 2 weeks now. Mm-hmm. And, just none of the other, even, other mission agencies that are around, you know, are all tapped out, and even commercial options not available right now. So feel really bad for them, but that's kind of how great the need is in general. But, so we're really looking forward to getting number two here. That'd be pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. Anybody, I know other people have questions.
What is the name of the community or whatever you want to call where you are, where the base camp is with that you operate out of?
The mission center is Lapilo Mission Center.
Can you spell that?
Lapilo.
Now, I was going to try to look you up on the Google.
If you look at app and you look for the town of Goroka, G-O-R-O-K-A. Goroka is the town that's just right near here. That's where the airport is, where the hangar is that the guys fly out of. It's in Goroka. And Lapilo is the name of the New Tribes Mission, NTMPNG Mission Center is at Lapilo.
Okay. Thank you.
It's also the name of the area, kind of the group of clans, you know, the line of people around, it's their area. So we're Lapilo Center, and, you know, surrounding us is Lapilo, kind of the community. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think it's on Google Maps. So if you can find Goroka and follow the highway south several miles, yeah. You'll run into it.
Yep.
You know, Google is amazing.
It is amazing. It really is.
Yeah.
Well,
my last question. Do y'all have any security problems with where you are out there, with us communicating with you?
I don't think communication is the issue, as in some of, like, you know, maybe the – well, I don't know. In short, no, communication like this should not be a problem. We do try to limit pinpointing, you know, where works are, just as a general practice. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, there's not even a specific threat, you know, that would prevent us from doing that. There's one region that's, you know, a little bit hot right now. But that's, pretty much the first of its kind, you know, to my knowledge, you know, it's kind of like a gang slash terrorist group. It's not near us at all. And it's very localized and regional, but, by and large, I would say no. I don't think there's any issues with this. Yeah.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just another question or two about the community where you live. This is Tom. I'm over here on the side, but, how large a community is it of in this Lapu-Lapu, you know, like for the school, how many kids in the school or the way these Bible study, what does that look like? Number of people, families?
That's
all
a good question. I'm horrible at estimating. You're better at that.
What does the school have? 150 kids? 200?
I don't know off the top of my head. Man. I don't know off the top of my head. I know that there's 75 or so houses at Lapu-Lapu Center. Not all of those are, you know, people come and go depending on home assignments and all of that. I mean, I could probably find a number for the school, but I don't really know off the top of my head.
Yeah.
Is more than just NTM there? Is that right?
Not at this particular center. Well,
it's an NTM center. There are, I know there is one, from another mission, agency who are living here because they're actually, she's actually teaching in our school. For the most part, and there are a few citizens, PNG citizens who live on the center as well.
Yeah,
but by and large, it's mostly, you know, FOS 360 or NTM PNG is what it's called over here, New Tribes Mission, mm-hmm. Papua New Guinea.
Right.
Yeah.
Y'all have a church that tries to meet, on Sundays or whenever?
We have a gathering every Sunday morning, basically just all the missionary families that are here on the center. And then there's I don't know how to describe it, but there's another NTM center that's just down the road called Sobega. And that, so there's some overlap. Some of the missionaries and church planners who are in orientation there will drive to, because we're so close, we'll come over to Lapu-Lapu for the church services and things like that. And then there's a teaching team of men here, missionaries here, that are currently in support roles at the center that rotate with the teaching on Sunday mornings.
Yeah.
So nice to have that community.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was trying to, we've gotten so many emails from the school because that's one of the big needs for next year is teachers. And there was a great video. If I can find it, I can send it to you guys later. But, it said exactly how many, exactly students and how many different because there are some, I think so, there are some, tribal church planners whose children will come to Lapu-Lapu to go to the school here, like boarding students. And then there are also a few students from MAF, Mission Aviation Fellowship, in town in Garoka. So some of those kids will come to Lapu-Lapu to go to school. And so there is a little bit of overlap with the community there and some of the students that attend.
Yeah, see if you can pull that up.
I'm trying to find it.
That's okay.
Just say it later.
But yeah. I thought it was a really neat, because I didn't even know, like, you know, how many different areas they were from. And, yeah.
If you find it, just send it to us. We'd love to, you know, give us a visual where the kids are. Any other questions? No? Online? Does anybody have any questions out there?
Well, I was looking at a picture of your family last night, and what a beautiful family and just precious children. And I just was wondering how they are adjusting as far as making friends and that kind of thing.
In some ways, way better than their parents. Our youngest especially, our two-year-old loves finding mangoes on the ground outside and guavas and loves, he calls the PNG citizens here Api Noon, because Api Noon is kind of how you say, so you say morning for good morning, or you say Api Noon as the greeting for any time after lunch, really. But Jackson has decided that Api Noon is actually any dark skinned person from PNG. They are Api Noon. And so he says Api Noon is driving the car when he's playing around, and he'll talk about, oh, I can hear the planes, or, and he'll say both words. He'll say, it's a plane, Balus, I hear a Balus. So he'll, like, he uses kind of pigeon words interchange. Like, he just kind of, I don't know. I feel like kids are, at least young kids seem to be really adaptable in that way. And our 8-year-old, the rule here at Lapu-Lo Center is that when you're 8 years and older, you can walk around the center without parents. If the parents are okay with it, obviously, like, you have that freedom to go from friend house, you know, to your friend's house, or to take the trash, or, you know, whatever, without a parent along. And so he loves the freedom of just being able to go see a friend from school. I don't know. Naomi is our social butterfly, so she loves all the opportunities that she has here to interact with other kids. So I feel like they're doing really well. Both of this was a huge answer to prayer, really. Both, so Lily and Jackson are the two that are at home with me. Lily is 4. She'll be in kindergarten in the fall, but she's at home with me now. And then Jackson is 2. So when I was trying to hire Mary to come and help with the house and with language, that was one of my big prayer requests, was that because they're here all the time and they're constantly interrupting and we're doing things together, that I wanted somebody that they could really interact with and enjoy. And so they both, at least lately, ask almost every morning if Miss Fiona is coming today. And so they already really love her. And, and so it's just kind of neat to see them. I don't know. They seem very comfortable to me. So I mean, I'm sure there's things that's like, they don't like some of the food and stuff. Like, I don't know. But, like, overall, I think they're adjusting really well. So it's that's really encouraging for us, for sure.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And the email that I found, the email, it's 320-plus students in the school. So it says this, and a lot of times families who are church planning families who are typically out in the bush may end up coming, like, there's a family here currently who is living at Lapu-Lo just for a year. They've been in PNG for like 10, 15 years, mm-hmm. and they have some kids who have already graduated and graduated high school and gone back to the States, but they also have some younger kids. And so they had some educational needs that they couldn't address in the bush. And so they're currently living at Lapu-Lo for a year so that their kids can go to this school. And then the goal is hopefully for their family to be able to go back into the tribe. So that's another reason why the school is so beneficial, because otherwise they would have no other option but to come back to the States or something like that, to address the kinds of needs. But since the school's here, they're able to just come to Lapu-Lo for the year, and they can still go back and forth to the church planning work, or I guess it's an established church now in their particular location, but they can get in it and they don't have to be completely gone from the field. So
that's great.
You just referred to the, I guess, outlying area as the bush. Is it pretty primitive where you go out and do ministry?
He could tell you more. I don't get to see the bush, or at least I haven't. I hope that I get to go and see some of the locations, but Stu could tell you, since he's been flying, it's pretty out there.
Yeah. So immediately around us, I mean, right across the street is villages, you know, with thatch roof and grass, you know, grass roof and thatch walls and dirt floors. But there's also kind of a town aspect to it too, with cars and stores and, you know, electricity here and there, or a copper roof here and there. But some of the places I've been flying are, I mean, just the ends of the earth. It's just incredible. Where I landed on Monday, there was a few ladies standing over on the side wearing bark cloaks, like cloaks made of bark. Like that's what their jacket was. There, that's what kept them dry and kept them out of the sun and protected their body instead of a North Face coat or whatever. So, yeah. So, I mean, it's just incredibly wide range of, I wouldn't call it anything modern by any stretch of the imagination, but to, you know, deep, you know, jungle kind of tradition and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So it's pretty amazing.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anybody else have questions? Mm-hmm. Everybody's being quiet this morning.
I got a question.
Harder this.
What's communication like with the people in the bush? Are there dialects or other languages you have to learn? Or is there a trade language?
Yeah, so for me, well, for both of us, we're learning the trade language, and that's because there are so many languages across the country. There's over 800. That's what I have to use to get in and around, whether it's in town or in the farther you get into the bush, actually, the less people know of the trade language, which is mm-hmm. pretty interesting. You know, they stick to their own local dialect, unless, you know, part of their line has gone out and gotten some schooling or come back from town or something like that. So the trade language is what we use to do our business, our, you know, getting from here to there, A to B. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. But the church planners do learn the individual languages when they go out into the bush in whatever location they are. They will have to learn that language and as well as the trade language in most cases. Yeah.
Is there a Bible translated into pidgin?
There is.
There is. Yeah.
There's actually an app. I found it today. you can look up Tok Pidgin Bible, and you can get it. Yeah. And there's actually, I can't remember what they said. I think right now there's 29 current translations that are being worked on. I don't know how many they've completed so far. We just had an update this past Sunday on that, but I can't remember how many they've completed so far. But I know that there's 29 that are currently being worked on. So.
That's great. Well, before we go, do you have some questions? To the time of prayer, I did want to let you know that I think it's the younger Sunday school classes, the children's, have adopted y'all as their missionaries. Oh. So they'll be, there's one of them right there, Will. You? Talk about the Sims in Sunday school, William. I can't see what that is. School.
Uh-huh.
It's a helicopter. Thank you.
Awesome. He says thank you for the cargo net, he said.
They watched the video of the helicopters that Yod sent us, I guess, we found. I don't know exactly what it was, but they watched that in Sunday school. So I think out of 20 kids, 18 of them are boys. The children's ministry director said that they really enjoyed it. But we hope to be having them in constant communication and praying for y'all. So just thought that was neat. They can really relate the age of your children and stuff like that.
Yeah, that's awesome. Thank you.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're going to pivot to a time of prayer. Is there anything else other than what you sent us that we can focus on for y'all?
I think what I sent you is probably the best bet at this point. Okay. Yes, I mean, there's some praises in there. I mean, already, thank you for praying. The Fiona, I think I had mentioned I don't know if she had come yet or not when I sent you that, but that's been great so far. So there's already some praises probably mixed in there. But yeah.
Good. All right. Well, let's see. Who wants to open? Bubba, would you like to open? Tom, would you want to close?
Sure.
Go ahead.
Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this time this morning with Stuart and Bryn, and it might not be morning over there, but we thank you for them getting up and sharing with us. And Lord, I'm just so thankful that they are there and that you're using young people with young children that are going out to reach people that don't know them. Don't know you, don't know the gospel, and need help. And for Stuart's experience in flying a helicopter and then just switching over and going to the mission field and doing it there. So I know the work has been going on a long time in Papua New Guinea, even with his dad being out there years ago, with just the difficulty it is to reach the people, but the willingness of so many people to go and be a part of that. So I pray that you would be with them as they learn the language, as they settle in, as they thank you for the helper that has come along to work with the family. And as Stuart continues in his process of getting his license and being able to fly and fill in all the needs that are there for the second helicopter that's coming. But most of all, Lord, I just thank you for their heart and young people that are willing to go and to give of their life and give of their time to see the gospel go forward. So what a blessing that is. So I pray that you would continue to be with them as they settle in and do the ministry there, as the children are involved with the local school there, as they learn and as they work with the being involved with other children and as they grow in the Lord, as they are part of a church and of a family that knows you and loves you. So I just thank you for this time. And again, just encouragement to know that the gospel is still going out around the world, and we praise you and thank you for that. In Christ's name.
Well, I just thank you for the transition that has gone fairly smoothly for them to go to Papua New Guinea, getting set up in a home and school for the children, and just thank you for the friends that they've been able to make. Father, continue to pray for the new helicopter to come quickly and that the aviation things that are there in Papua New Guinea, that they would have all the supplies they need, all the fuel they need, all the support they need to do all the transportation that they need to do there. We just continue to pray for them this way.
Lord, we come to you this morning and thank you so much for the Sims and their family and their willingness to move literally around the world, Lord, to help spread your word. And we just ask that you continue to keep your hand of protection around them and their children, Lord. And we thank you for the blessing of friends that they've made there and the community that we can all come together, Lord, and support each other while they support you. And we thank you for Fiona. We just ask that that'll be a way for Bryn to learn the language and the children to interact with her, Lord, and to help Bryn as she continues to be a mother of four over in a foreign country, Lord. And we just ask that you be with Stuart as he flies and learns the country and their ways there, that you keep him safe. In Christ's name.
Gracious Heavenly Father, we are grateful for this time to talk with Stuart and Bryn, and grateful for the technology that enables us to do that even. We look to you as our sovereign Lord and give you praise in the way that you are working around the world and bringing people to know you through the blood and body of Christ. Grateful for the provision of Stuart and Bryn and placing them there in that community, and just for the ability that Stuart has now to provide lift to those in the remote villages and places there in PNG. We do pray for safe flying and maintainability of the aircraft and even for the new helicopter as it's soon to be shipped, that it would arrive soon and that just the whole transition there for the aircraft would be very go smoothly. I pray for the community there in Lapu-Lo and that you would bless relationships there and that there would just be a strong worshiping, fellowshipping community of supporting one another, encouraging one another. I pray for the school and I pray for the teachers, the necessary teachers there that would provide education for the children and certainly Bible studies, as Bryn described, that can build relationships as well. But we're so grateful for the many ways in which you provide in just this one location, knowing that your hand is at work in many, many other places around the world. I pray especially for the translation work of those who are out in the field and for the church planting efforts that are so essential to discipling people and continuing the spread of the gospel in accord with your great commission. We're grateful for the privilege of having this small role here and seeing that happen far away. And I would just pray that all of us would be good stewards of your blessings and the opportunities that you give us, that we would be glorifying you with our efforts both here and there. So it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.